So Marshall was talking to me about the Chalom of Paro. So he asked me a question. Good question. Question is, how did Yosef know? How did Yosef know that Paro's Chalom was prophetic? Maybe it was just an ordinary nightmare. How could he have known that it's prophetic? That was Marshall's question. So I said, let's take a look and see the first words that Yosef said to Paro. And it's really amazing. It's very interesting. And it shows you a truth about life that you wouldn't otherwise perhaps know. Now, the first thing he said, I'll try to get back to the law, but this just intrigued me, and it caught my fancy. So it says, "Vayan Pasuk Tezayin, Mem Aleph Tezayin, Vayan Yosef es Paro Lemor, Bildoy." Okay. It's not me. In other words, that he ascribed all his chachma to God. Okay. Yeah. Because Paro apparently praised him very much, and he built him up. That you have this unique ability. So he answered, "Ein hachochma mishali, elo lekim yana yitain aniyo b'fi l'shalom paro." Okay, it's a heart of the prosecutor. what do you mean by that? He's the one. Yeah, everybody has chachma. That's his chachma. What's the bill of that? It sounds like a false type of humility. Okay, but what did he say? He said, "Elokim yana shalom paro." Correct? What does that mean? On the surface, it sounds like the dream is going to be a good one. But how does he know if he didn't even hear the dream yet? So take a look at Rashi. Yeah. Rashi says, "Ein hachachma mishali, elokim yana yitain aniyo b'fi l'shalom paro." Yes, so what is that? It sounds like he's saying it's going to be good. Don't worry, it's all good. But how could he know that before he even hears the dream? So what I want to say is like this. Like this. That Yosef really didn't know that the dream was prophetic before he heard it. And when he said that God will answer favorably with Shlom Paro, it wasn't referring to the interpretation. It was referring to the state of mind that Paro was under, which was a state of suffering. Okay. So therefore, what Yosef said to him, or he didn't tell him, may not have told him, but Yosef thought in his mind that if it's an order, that the worst thing that a person can endure, can experience, is being in conflict, having a conflict. A conflict causes a person to suffer. So if it's an ordinary dream, an ordinary dream will express or have in it the conflict. And the worst thing is when a person has a conflict and he doesn't know what it is, then he's purely in a state of suffering. He could be suffering for a different, because it's a prophetic dream, a different reason. In other words, the content of the dream is prophetic and it's bad, and therefore he senses that it's bad, and he's in a state of suffering. Like Chazal say here that I know they say by the Saramashim and Sarofim that they had the interpretation, but I'm a little rusty. I don't remember if Paro did have the interpretation with his vision. Maybe somebody remembers, but it's not essential. The point is that he could either be disturbed because of an inner conflict that is plaguing him, that he has no knowledge of, or else he could be disturbed because it's a prophetic dream and it's for the bad, and he senses the prophetic outcome, but he doesn't understand it. But he's disturbed by it. So either one of those two possibilities would disturb him. So I'm saying that when Rashi says that God will answer it, and it will be eating the feet Lishlom Paro, he's not referring to the future, because he doesn't know if it's prophetic or not. He hadn't heard the dream even. But what it means is that he said to him, either way, I'm going to get you out of this disturbance. If it's a natural dream, so the disturbance is from an unconscious conflict. So I'll help you to reveal the conflict and you'll be at peace. Now, if it's a prophetic dream and the reason why you're disturbed is because the outcome is somehow affecting you, even though you don't know where it is. But once I explain it to you, it won't disturb you anymore, even if it's a bit. So what I'm saying is that Yosef really didn't know whether it was an ordinary dream or whether it was a prophetic one. But what Yosef said was that either way, I'll remove the suffering that you're going through now about the dream. Because if it's a prophetic dream, so you're suffering from the fact that you sense the evil that's forthcoming, but you don't know where it is. So the ignorance keeps your mind stuck on that point. But once you know where it is, even if it's bad, you're not going to have this kind of suffering anymore. Because you'll understand it. In other words, the suffering is only because you sense that it's bad, but you don't know where it is. So your mind can't get off it. But the moment I'll explain to you what it is, so it could be it's a bad outcome. That's a separate problem. I could help you. But I could help you out of the immediate thing. That's what you're saying now. It's very, very interesting. Because you see that Yosef was telling him that the immediate pain that you're suffering because of the dream is greater than a bad outcome. Because a bad outcome is just reality. But the worst thing is the inner struggle. And that, he said, I'll get you out of. Elokim yan ha-shlom paro. I'll make you whole. I'll make you at peace with yourself. But what it means, I don't know. That it could be bad, it could be good. Either way, he wasn't referring to trying to help him in the future reality. He was only referring to the fact that once the future reality ceases to be hidden from him, then the suffering and the disturbance will go away. That's what he meant. The only thing is, what did he mean when he said, this always bothered me. It sounds like false humility. That ain't a chacham mishali, el alokim yana yitain aniya b'fi l'shlom paro. That is a very tough statement.
I think you once discussed it.
I feel like I did.
Yeah, I remember what you said.
Yeah, go ahead.
I say you said that he was differentiating himself from the I don't know, the charlatans, the soothsayers of Paro, because they maintain that they have some intrinsic quality that enables them to know. And he was saying that that's not the case. It's just that God implanted something in man, and if he studies the realities around him, then he obtains chachma from that. But there's nothing intrinsic to me, like I have,
powers.
There's power. And right. Every time there's a world of chachma out there. And if a person studies, that's humble. If a person studies it and learns from it, then Hashem opens up things for him that he might not otherwise know, as opposed to all the guys that Paro was used to. They claim that they just have this innate capacity to know.
Uh-huh. Just give me a second. It's interesting also because
I asked you that question. What does he mean by Bill or die? Well, I asked you that question. That's what I thought I remember then.
Yeah. That could very well be. I think I do remember that. Now, the only question is, what exactly does he mean when he says, Yitain ani abafi? Yeah, wouldn't that make him the big bell driver? That God puts into his words the answer. And how does that fit in with Ein HaChochma Mishali? The Chochma is not for me, but I'm a person that God puts into my mouth true answers. That itself is a tremendously haughty position.
Well, it depends how the person means it. Be like Moshe Rabbeinu. You know that you studied an area and you've gotten to understand it. You studied it humbly, but you've gotten to understand it. And like Moshe says, Adavar Gadol, you'll be an Eli. All right, maybe you shouldn't have said it that way, but he wasn't bragging. If a person has a clear idea of what it is that he knows, that's fine. It's in line with reality because he studied it, not because he's great or anything.
Yeah, but if you say that God is going to give me some words or some ideas directly, isn't that the highest level of God? How do you know that? Maybe, and even if he did it in the past, how do you know that he's going to do it again? And if you're going to say he always does it, then isn't that the highest driver?
I mean, how do you know for sure that he'd be able to figure this one out?
Right. How does he know for sure that God from the heavens is going to implant in his verbalization the truth. Maybe he won't.
You see, he was also taking a big risk then. In case he didn't know, then he'd look like a fool.
That's right. I'm just thinking that Marshall mentioned something before. Do you remember Marshall? I think it was a good point.
Yes, I said it was a tefillah, like when Aram said to Eliezer, Hashem Yishlach Malacho, he wasn't saying God will send his messenger, but he should. It's a tefillah.
I think you're right. I think that's the way you have to interpret. Like you say, yeah, like the Rav said, Uvachein Tein Pachtacha. What does it really mean? Uvachein Yitain Pachtacha. It's a tefillah. So when he said, Biladai, Ein HaChachma Mishali, Chachma is only from God. So I, as an individual, don't have any special powers, and I can't guarantee you an answer. But then he said, as a tefillah, El Elokim Yana Yitain Ani Abafi L'Shlom Paro, that God should give an answer via me, so that you'll be at peace. I think that's a show. That's a good show. Otherwise, even if you say it's from God, but for a person to dictate or predict that God is going to give him an idea? Why isn't that the highest God? I think Marshall's right on that. That it's a tefillah. It's a tefillah. Does anybody say anything?
Really?
Yeah.
I just wonder if you could say that, like the Rambam in the Moreh says that when he talks about like Ruach HaKodesh, that person has like the Ruach Hashem and he becomes like successful and he's able to do certain things that a regular person is unable to do.
Yeah.
Like Moshe Beinu at the well, you know.
Right.
And then one of his examples there is he has like Yosef, he has Hatzlachas Yosef Beis HaMitzri.
Yes.
You know, that Hashem was with him. So maybe like Yosef saw, or he was under, like he knew he was, had Ruach HaKodesh assisting him. And he was knew he would be able to do things that a regular person wouldn't be able to do.
Yeah, but he can't know in particular that he'll be able to definitely accomplish something with Ruach HaKodesh. And Shimshon HaGibra had Ruach HaKodesh. But you see...
Right.
But it didn't work. The last
right, time. But I mean, but then that's not because he sinned and he lost it, and that's why he.
That's correct. And
but like David, but like Ram has a case of David against the lion and the bear, and the you know and the plishti. That like he knew he was confident that he'd be able to you know, kill these giants or lions and bears. I mean. How does he do that? Why does he just run away? Because he knew he would be capable of, like, you know, when a person's operating on that level, he knows he's going to be capable of interpreting or a dream or...
How does he know this particular dream, that Ruach HaKodesh will give him the ability to do it? You see, by the bear and the lion, he knew because he knew... his own strength, and he knew that if he can direct all his strength to that challenge, that he'll be able to do it. So he had a way, a logical way of assessing it. But over here, he didn't even hear the dream. If he heard the dream, I could understand. Then I would say, you're right. He heard the dream. He sensed the difficulty and the challenge of the dream. And he knew that with directing all his energies for the sake of Kiddush Hashem, he'll be able to do it. That I can understand. But before he hears the dream, he doesn't know what he's up against. He doesn't see the lion or the bear. So how could he know? That's why I think Marshall's shot is the right shot. That is, Yitain is a tefillah. Uvachain tempach, Yitain pach, is a tefillah. And then everything is fine. Okay. But I think the godless and the great insight in this pasuk is that more important what he told Paro was more important than finding out what the dream means is to get you into a state of psychological harmony where you're not disturbed. And that's something I could do for you. Because he knew that he could interpret an ordinary dream and he knew he could get down to the conflicts. And once he makes them conscious, he makes them, he makes him aware of him, he'll be relieved. And he knew also that if it's a prophetic dream and he interprets, you see, it's very interesting. A prophetic dream disturbs a person, but not like a conflict. It has its own, it operates in its own orbit. And that is that the bad thing is hidden. And, but the sense of the bad thing is experienced. Yeah, like where do you have that? You have that by, Rashi says, by Bilam. So Rashi says that the donkey that I'm trying to remember. He differentiates between Bilam and between the donkey. That Bilam had a different kind of a fear, because the donkey doesn't have that kind of a psyche. Does anybody remember?
Yeah, Rashi says that it was given the koach, animals given the koach to see things that a person.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Go ahead.
That's a person would see what's the mazikin all around, he would go crazy. But an animal is given a koach to see things that a person can't see.
Right, all right, that's a little different. But getting back to this, what the Torah is saying is that it's worse to have the underlying suffering than the reality of what's going to happen. But the dream that's a Mariana Fua, the way it works is that the event is hidden, but the affect of the event is in existence. So that's why he's so disturbed, because he has an affect without a realistic cause. So that's what Yosef said. He said, that I could help you, because I have the ability to interpret. So he wasn't saying to him that it's gonna be good. Don't worry, it's good. Everything is gonna be good. That's like a nonsensical kind of a statement. Like the Chazonish says, even a person believes in bitachon, he doesn't know what God's gonna do. So just to say it's going to be good is senseless. But what he was saying is that you're suffering because there's something bad here which you're unaware of. And that I can help you. So he answered him first by saying, forget about what it means. We have to take up the immediate suffering. And that is because of your ignorance. And that I can do for you. So it appeared to be an amazing pasuk. Okay. Now.
So I could see why that would explain why the Sarah Othim was like disturbed by his dream. But why would the Sarah Mashkin be disturbed? Do you have to say it's because of the interpretation of the Sarah Ophim? Like, the Sarah Mashkin's dream was a good dream for him, no? Like, why would he be upset?
Yeah, doesn't Rashi say that they each had both dreams?
Right, so that's, as you say, he was upset because he knew his friend is going to get killed in 3 days? Like, he dreamed the other one's interpretation?
Well, if they both had both dreams, so then he had the affect of the Tsar, of the Tsar Saralfin.
Right. Right. Okay. And then Yosef himself, when Yosef's dreams, I guess, his two dreams in the beginning of Ayeshev. So, you mean, I guess he you don't see he was disturbed by them?
No, no, not at all.
Right. He should be a little more disturbed. Because just mean intrinsically a prophetic dream doesn't disturb a person. It's the repressed content, the content that you don't see, that's what bothers him. But since his dream had nothing bad for him,
that's
he wasn't
right.
disturbed.
Uh-huh. That's correct. It's the affect which he can't, he's drawn to it, but he can't reach it. So that's why he suffers. But as soon as the reality, which is the cause of the effect, is disclosed, then he can drop it. He's not stuck on it. The pain is because the guy is stuck on that. Because he has an affect and he doesn't know why. So he keeps on trying to reach out to get the cause of it. But once the cause is revealed, then that pain is gone. Maybe something else. Maybe reality is bad. That's a different pain. But that's really what Yosef taught him. Now you have one more question. How did Yosef know that the dreams were in fact prophetic? Maybe they weren't. You remember my man?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I wanted to make sure you're here.
No, I am here. That okay. I don't think you ever gave. I never heard you give share on that.
We never took it. We never took it up.
I don't think so.
Yes, I was just thinking about it before. I was thinking that maybe the pshat is like this. That a bad dream, a nightmare, maybe it was a nightmare. How do you know that it's prophetic? So I think the answer is like this, that even in a nightmare, there is always a good part. There is always a wish. There's always a good, something good. It may not be the essence of the dream. The essence of the dream might be very bad. But there is something there that is a good element. So if that's the case, so over here, how did he know? Because there was something good. What was the something good? That the cows that came out were good looking, were healthy. The name in Ayor, all those Shevaparos, Brios Adavos. So there was a good element there. So why should he be so disturbed? If there was, in fact, a good element. So I think that's what I think he meant when he said, Chalom Echadu. What does it mean, Chalom Echadu? So the Mefarshim want to say it means that both dreams are one. But that doesn't fit in with the Pesukim because it says that... It says, "Vayomer Yosef el Paro, pasuk chofei, chalom Paro echad." So, if he means that it's just repetitious, Okay. So then why do you have to say, why do you have to say in Pasuk Lamed Beis, Va'al Hishana Sachalom, El Parapama? He said already, Chalom Achad. The Al Hishana Sachalom seems to be a new thing. Now he's discussing for the first time the repetition. So if that's the case, what did he mean when he said, Chalom Achad? Correct?
Right. Well, Rebbe, didn't he say that the repetition was because it's about to happen immediately?
Ramban says that.
Yeah, Rashi thinks it's so. But the question still is, when he says, V'al Yishon HaSachalom HaParo, Pa'amoyim, that language indicates that he didn't discuss it yet. It's a new thing. And now, why was it repeated? Now, let me explain to you now the fact that it was repeated, what that means. So apparently he didn't take up that problem until that point. That's what I'm saying. So therefore, what does he mean when he says, Chalom Echad? So I think the pshat is plain. Chalom Echad means it's not two dreams. That there are good cows and there are bad cows. It's one dream. The good cows are swallowed up by the bad cows. There are no good cows. Well, there is no value in the good cows because they're immediately swallowed up by the bad cows. So the fact that they were good is no good for you. You don't benefit at all. It's chalom echad. It's not good cows separately and then bad cows. It's tied together. The good cows are destined to be swallowed up by the bad. So if that's the case, there is no good element in the dream. Okay? So that's why he knew it had to be prophetic. Because if it were a normal dream, so there's always some good thing in it. Something. But here there's nothing. So that's why he told Powers, he said to Powers, Chalom Echad. This is not just a nightmare where you have certain conflicts that are beneath the surface, that are deeply rooted, and that are torturing you. That's not the case. Because if that were the case, then there would be something good, some good element in the dream. But it's Chalom Echad. There is nothing good here. If there's nothing good here, it has to be prophetic. And now I'll explain to you what exactly it means, what the prophecy is. So it fits in very well that he told Paro, Chalom Echad. Then later, he got to the other point. Namely, that the duplication of the dream. Why did you have to have a duplication? So that's where he says, Ki korov ador, ki nachon ador, na'im lovachim, umemaher lovachim la'asosu. That's why you had the repetition. So that was the first time he took up that point. What he meant before was a different point. that there's nothing, that the good is so tied to the bad that it's wiped out. There is no good. And that's why it has to be prophetic. Yeah, I'm sorry. Pardon my voice. I know it's very bad. But, yeah, like I told you, they changed the medication. It had a bad effect on it. But it's okay. The main thing is the thoughts. Okay, any point? Anybody have any points?
Yeah, Rebbe.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, we've been able to hear you fine, just so you know. Can you explain why Yosef knew he could get down to Paro's unconscious? Because, I mean, in general, you know, he might have good skills, but it just seems he had no knowledge of Paro beforehand. So what made him know that if it wasn't prophetic, that he would have been able to help him deal with his conflicts?
That's a good question. But the answer is that since he was so capable, and he had such a great ability, he would know how to question him to get down to it. Might take some time, but he knew the method of revealing it, and therefore it didn't make any difference that he was Paro. He could do it with any human being. As long as the person was willing to answer his questions and disclose his psyche.
I'm sorry, go ahead, finish.
No, you go.
No, I was just saying, I think this will help. There's another question that they all ask. Of course, Yosef proceeds and starts to give advice, what to do and appoint the person and so on and so forth. And everybody's like, why is he giving advice? He's just called in to interpret the dream.
Oh, they ask that question?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I asked that question. I assume others. I think others do. I'm not sure. But I think this makes a lot of sense, because it turns out that there was no good, that the seven good cows in the dream were no good thing, but in actuality, it became a good thing. In actuality, that's what saved Egypt and so on and so forth. Truth is, it was a good thing, but that's only if you use it properly.
Very good. Mind flashed by that thought. I didn't stop to take a look, but I agree 100% that's what he said. The continuity is very good, because he told them, in the dream there's no good thing, nothing good. However, if you do something, which I'll tell you what to do, then it'll be good.
That was necessary. In other words, he wasn't Stam giving him advice. That was a continuation of the explanation of the dream.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Definitely, you're correct.
I'm sure I saw that question somewhere. I know I've asked it, but I'm pretty sure there must be some commentaries that raise that question.
Because I think Ramban addresses it, right, man?
Yeah, because otherwise... What's he being so haughty about? Yeah.
I think Ramban learned that that's part of the interpretation of the dream itself.
Why?
I forgot. I think maybe it's Ramban learned the swallowing is to show that, like, that's what God was instructing Paro to do, to, like, set up a storehouse so that during the years of the hunger, they can eat the food that was saved during the years of the plenty. Like, that was part of the dream itself.
Yeah, but I think our man's question was, why is it part of the dream?
Yeah, this fits in. Well, your interpretation fits in perfectly.
Yeah, why was it part of the dream?
I mean, why did God make it that way, you mean?
No, why is that actually part of the dream? Why can't you say it's a separate thing? Yeah, I mean, what does Ramban say?
I think he said that part of the, it wasn't like Yosef decided to give advice to Paro, because who made him an advisor to Paro? But that was part of the content of the dream was that Paro should set up somebody to gather whatever. Paro should save up the food from the 7 years of plenty so that they could eat it during the 7 years of famine. That's like what it means, like when it's swallowed. That's the interpretation, I think, of the swallowing of the seven bad cows swallowing up the good ones. It's showing you that they should eat. They're going to eat during the 7 years of famine what they saved during the 7 years of plenty.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a clear idea. That they should save it up.
Right. They should save up the grain and the whatever they store during the 7 years of plenty so that they can eat it during the 7 years of famine. And that's what it means, that the seven bad cows are going to swallow up the seven good cows.
So is that, you mean that's a good thing?
No, I'm just saying that's part of the interpretation. It's not Yosef afterwards adding on his own two bit. Yosef's saying that's part of the message that God is sending to Paro to do this.
By the way, it would fit into your pshat, really, because it says, well, the fact that it means the dream itself is saying that the seven good years won't even be good years. They'll just sort of self-destruct. And it says, lo yivada hasava b'chala aretz.
Right.
Saying it right there. So it's like nothing. So,
right.
Yes, I think, I mean, just some, if you look at it that way, anybody would figure that out, that if you can have seven good years followed by seven bad years, you prepare in advance. So Yosef doesn't have to tell him that. Yeah, you know, he could figure that out himself. But the point is that the dream indicated that there'd be no good from that. You finished. You wiped out. Egypt is wiped out. That's why he wanted to tell him that, no, it can appear that way in the dream, but the actuality doesn't have to be that way.
I agree. In other words, when he sees the seven bad cows, he's looking at total destruction.
Exactly.
That's the dream.
Yosef said, well, below Yivada, no one will even remember it. God, it doesn't exist.
That's right. And the cows were so emaciated. But the fact is, there was no emaciation because Yosef avoided with his idea of void. He prevented it. So the dream, Yosef, I think this is a very important, I think I mentioned this before, but I think what Yosef taught Paro was a very important thing, that if you can have knowledge, you can have knowledge that you're gonna be destroyed. But the dream is not something that you have to respect and follow. You can use your own intelligence to change it. See, that idea Paro never had. He always thought that an interpretation is final, because that's the way the primitive people think. What Yosef told Paro is the interpretation is terrible, it's horrible, but you aren't bound by it. You're not bound by it. You can do something with your own free will dispel the interpretation.
You said this on the B'nai Noach tapes. It's not deterministic.
That's right. That's correct.
Yeah, it's not fatal. Paro believed in fatalism.
Yes. That's
so
right.
After he heard that dream, that's it. It's over.
It's over.
Yosef told him that no, he said, Shamal, Kim Osa, God showing what the ordinary course of nature is, but man can intervene and change it. The whole philosophy. No religion.
That's why he had to say that. That's why he had to say that too.
That's why it's part of the interpretation. It's incomplete if he doesn't tell him that. Because he walks away as a fatalist. That's it. It's over. We're doomed.
That's right. That's right.
Ready?
Right. That's correct. Now, one second. Yeah, that's why Paro said, after Yosef said that you should appoint somebody, so what did Paro say? He says, Hanim Sochaseh, did you ever see somebody like this? Isha Sheruach Kimbo. That he taught us a whole new method that things don't have to be. That you have free will. That a dream, if you're fortunate, is just a revelation of Nevuah. That God is telling you is going to happen, but it doesn't have to happen. Because it's totally in your free will. That's what he said. Hanim Sukkazah. We never had anybody like that. We never saw life that way. We always thought that it's determined and that doom has to happen if the dream forecasts it. So that's what really impressed him.
That's why Paro himself had nobody that could handle the situation because they all believed that same philosophy.
That's correct.
We needed a person that came from a completely different philosophy.
That's right. That's why I think he said, Ish Asher Rocha Akimbo. That he's a man. He's not frightened by superstitions. He doesn't believe in it. But nevertheless, he's not an atheist. It's Rocha Akimbo. It's the Ruach of God. That's a parasol. You see, an atheist, you could say, is Ish. He could be a man. What did Putin say? Putin said a while ago, he said, and I can do anything I want because there is no divine retribution. Okay. So he's an Ish. But there's no Ruach HaLakim. But that's what Paro said. He's an Ish. He's a free thinker. He has a free will. He's not afraid to act. But he also has Ruach HaLakim. He also has the knowledge of God through the Ruach HaLakim. That's why he said, Hanim Sochazer. Because usually you find one or the other. You find guys in Apikaris, he could be a powerful Ish. Or you can find a guy that's a Ruach HaLakim, but he can't go out and do anything.